Thank you, Brother Roddy. Good evening. Good to see each of you out this evening. Good to be here. As Brother Roddy has already mentioned, this is our last Sunday with you for this time. And truly, we've enjoyed the privilege we've had of being with you, of getting to know many of you even better than before. And we've enjoyed the times of fellowship that we've spent together. We trust that the Word has been a challenge to your heart and your lives as we've tried to express God's Word as He would have us do. We pray this evening that as the Word goes forth, again, it might be a blessing and a challenge to each of your hearts and lives. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I'd like to read the first 7 verses for the sake of time. First 7 verses. Or perhaps I read the first 10. First 10, chapter 37, Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity again this evening to open your word. We pray that you might take it and use it, Lord, for your honor and your glory. There are those in our midst tonight who know you not as their personal Savior. We pray that it might be the means of, Lord, convicting them, and that before this service is through, they might accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a story I'm sure that many of you have heard before, the Valley of the Dry Bones. Perhaps most of us older ones, and I say that very carefully, older ones, you've heard that song many times in reference to this passage of Scripture. And for the number of times that I've heard it, it always amused me, the way that they put that song together with all of these bones coming together, and finally they begin to live. However, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a very serious note here. We see here a vision that God is giving to the prophet Ezekiel. I see it not only as one vision, I see it as a double vision in time. Perhaps as God gave it to Ezekiel, it was in reference to the children of Israel. And we're going to look at that for a little while tonight. But the basis this evening of my message that I want us to consider is that it also is in reference to you and I and to this world in which we live today. As I was reading through this passage of Scripture this past week and even this afternoon, the thought came to my mind, what would we as believers do if we were asked by the Lord, or if we were taken to a place where there was absolutely nothing there but dry bones, and to complicate the matters in our life, God would say to us, minister to these bones. Sing to these bones. Preach to these bones. Because these bones are going to live. I don't know how many of us would do that, but we would probably think it was a joke. How can bones live? When we see bones, we see something that has already lived and died. There's no life. There is nothing to it. It is just absolutely a bone. How can these bones come alive? Well, this is a picture that God gave to Ezekiel in this vision that we've looked at tonight. We go back a little bit about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was in captivity along with all of the other children of Israel. They were in Babylon at the time, as a matter of fact. And here in this vision, God is showing to Ezekiel what he is about to do for the children of Israel. For those of his people that had been scattered abroad, who were now in captivity and in bondage, and the majority of them in Babylon. They were away from God, away from the one that loved them, that cared for them, that supplied all their needs, that did everything they wanted, but yet they rejected God. And so he takes the prophet and he gives him this vision. He says, the Lord carried me out in the spirit and he set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. That valley to Ezekiel represented God's people, the children of Israel. His people that had gone astray. His people that had turned their backs on him. His people that we read of in the 137th Psalm, who says that how can we sing the Lord's song when we are here in captivity? They hung their harps upon the willow. They said, how can you expect us to laugh when there is nothing to laugh about? They had gone away from the presence of God. They had left God, and God looked upon the children of Israel as a valley of dry bones. Very dry bones, the scripture says. The last part of verse 2. They were very many, and they were very dry. And you know something? It's sad to say, but as we stand there this evening, thousands of years later, the children of Israel are almost in that same position as they were then. Because even today, there are many of them still, of the millions of Jews that have gone back home, they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There are those that have, but there are countless numbers tonight that as God looks down from his throne in heaven, he still sees a valley of dry bones that consist of his people, the children of Israel, that have refused to accept him as their personal Savior. But you know something, even though at that time God was showing this vision to Ezekiel the prophet, he had plans to bring them back into their homeland. And we read this further on down in the 37th chapter, which we don't have time to go into tonight. God brought them back to their homeland for a little while. But again, they disobeyed and they were scattered once more. But we find that down in history it is recorded, in 1948, the United Nations granted them the right to return back to Palestine and set up their own government. And they have been there, and they will remain there, because the scripture reminds us that no more will they ever be scattered again. We read this in Amos chapter 9, and I'll just share it briefly with you. Amos 9:15, God says, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord their God. They are there. These are the ones that God said to Ezekiel, prophesy upon these bones. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. God is slowly bringing them back home to Israel. They're not all there yet. There are still millions of them that are scattered throughout the world, but God is bringing them back, and He's bringing them back for a purpose. And that purpose will be finalized one day. Their role is not yet complete. God is gradually bringing what He gave to the prophet Ezekiel, although it has happened in stages, it is not complete yet. And one day it will be complete. But I also see in this, not just for the children of Israel, I see from this another picture emerging this evening. And this is a picture that relates to our entire world. And we want to use this vision of Ezekiel to describe it. I believe without a doubt that as I read through this, that this vision indicates the moral and spiritual decay of the world that you and I are living in today. As God looks out from His throne in heaven, and He looks down on man that He made with such loving care and tenderness, and He loves us so much, He looks at a world where the majority of men today, in His eyes, are as dry bones. And I repeat, the majority of the human race today, in the eyes of God, are as a valley of dry bones. Why do I say that? There's over 6 billion people living on planet Earth. There are many religions in our world in which we live. But it is the minority of the people this night that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and not the majority. Don't ever believe for one moment. You may see it on television. You may hear it wherever you go. You may read it in the newspapers. But it is the minority of the world today that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who's come alive, and not the majority. The majority of the world today is, as Jesus said to Ezekiel on that day, as a valley of dry bones. And beloved, this evening, that is not good. That is an awful picture. It is awful to you and I as we look at our world, at what's happening in our world in which we live. You turn on the television today and I ask you to tell me when this service is through, if you've heard any good news at all today, as you've looked at the news, and I would say the answer is possibly, absolutely not. There is no good news, my friends, in our world in which we live today. We might get a little bit here, a little bit there, but the majority of the news that you and I receive today, it's awful. Men no longer care about each other. There is no longer love in the hearts for human beings. Every man is for himself today, and we see it demonstrated in our world in which we live. And we have become a people separated from God. Our world has become a valley of dry bones. And oh, I do, and I'm sure that there are many of you here tonight who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When we look at these things, when we read about these things, our heart aches within us because we know without a doubt what is going to happen at the end of men's life who go out into eternity without Jesus Christ. This world was once the abode of purity and light. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God would come down in the cool of the day to visit with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We read of the visitation of angels frequently to great men of God. This is no longer so in our world in which we live today. Men have completely put God, and when I say men, not all men, but the majority,
the majority.
If you're in here this evening and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, we are in the minority. But thanks be to God, we can rejoice in the fact that the Scripture says the way to glory is paved by those that walk the narrow pathway. The ones that walk the narrow pathway of life. Oh, beloved, our society has changed. And it's changing every day that we live. Satan is the prince and power of the air, as the Scripture reminds us of. And the awful part about it is that he is in control. We may not like this. We may not like to hear this. But, beloved, if Jesus Christ is not in control of your life, then the devil is. There is no in-betweens. The Scripture tells us that from the beginning, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us tonight, our lives were at one time or the other controlled by the power of sin and the power of Satan. And tonight, those of us who know Christ as our Savior can only say, thank God we are sinners saved by grace. But if you're not a sinner tonight saved by grace, you're under the dominion and power of Satan. And oh, this evening, if we can only impress upon you one thing, that at the end of the trail, one day the trail of life will end, beloved, and when you come to the end of that trail and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is only one place that the Scripture says that man without Christ will go into a lost eternity, to a place called hell. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it. But, beloved, it's a reality. It's a reality. And the awful, awful part about it this evening is that there is no return ticket in your life. There is no coming back. What we do for Jesus Christ is important in this life. We find Christ. We accept Him as our Savior. We come out of that dominion and control of Satan in our life. And we see this exhibited all over the world in which we live. We see it in these little communities in which we live. The Bible says that man without God is morally and spiritually dead. And tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the eyes of God, you are spiritually dead. We might say, well, I'm alive. I'm just as alive as you are. I'm living. I'm enjoying. Yes, but there's a difference with God. Because the Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but Almighty God looketh on the heart. That's what's important, my friend, to have our hearts right with God. Verse 2 here describes man as very many, very dry bones. It depicts the moral and spiritual condition, as I said, of the world we live in. But then I want you to notice something. In verse 3, God asks Ezekiel the ultimate question. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? You know, there have been many times that I have erred, asked the question. I've even had it asked to me after many gospel services. And perhaps there are other servants of God here tonight that have had the same thing asked. After a solemn message has been rendered and the service comes to a close and we see men and women walk out and turn their backs on Jesus Christ, the question is asked, can these be saved? What can be done? What can be said to convince men and women of their sins and to bring them to Jesus Christ? Is there any hope? Is there any chance? Is there any opportunity? Can they ever know Jesus Christ as their Savior? And the answer is yes. These bones can live. I'm sure that as Ezekiel looked out over that valley of dry bones, and God said to him, prophesy And these bones will hear the word of the Lord, and these bones will live. Perhaps within his heart he may have felt, this is a hopeless case. And oftentimes, perhaps we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we say within ourselves, they're hopeless. They've heard the gospel over and over again. But beloved, tonight there is not a hopeless case with God. There is not a hopeless case with God, no matter who you are, no matter what condition your life may be in, no matter how far you've drifted away from God, God still loves you. He loves you with all his heart, and you are not a hopeless case. And beloved, let's not look at lost men and women as hopeless cases. We need to look at men and women without Jesus Christ as men and women that are going out into eternity, and our hearts should weep. Our hearts should weep for our loved ones, for our friends, for those that we know that do not know Christ. Do not give up. Oh, beloved mother and father tonight, if you have children that don't know Christ, don't give up. Children, if you're here tonight and your parents don't know Christ, don't give up. Continue to pray. Keep them in your prayers. God is able. His word says, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I can stand there all night and raise enough noise till the roof falls in. It doesn't make a bit of difference. What matters is that it's the Spirit of God that moves and works in hearts and lives. Don't give up. Ezekiel didn't throw up his hands and say, God, you've got to be joking. This is a valley of bones. Nothing can happen here. God said, these bones can live. And for every human being that has ever been born, there is an opportunity to live, to know Jesus Christ, to accept Him and acknowledge Him as your personal Savior. And believe me, we, the people of the Bahamas, have had the opportunities in our lifetime. There is not one person in the Bahamas, I believe, that will ever stand in the presence of God and look in His face and say to Him on that judgment day, God, I never heard of the gospel. I never knew what the good news of salvation was. Forget it. Every person in the Bahamas that can hear has heard the word of God, and we have no excuse. And one day, beloved, the word reminds us that we are going to stand in the presence of God, and we're going to give an account of our lives before God. No excuse! No point in thinking of something you might say after you die that will convince God that you didn't have a chance. We've all heard of the gospel. No excuse. But I like Ezekiel's answer. Ezekiel could have said, but God, they're dead. They're only bones. But here's what he said in verse 4. He said, Lord, thou knowest. Sorry, in verse 3. Lord, thou knowest. And then God said, Ezekiel, preach to these bones. Preach to these bones. These bones will live. Oh, beloved, thank God. Thank God for men and women that will stand up and tell others about Jesus Christ. Thank God for men and women that are willing to go around the world and tell men and women about Jesus Christ. Lost men and women. Many of them tonight are going through some terrible tests and trials in their life. Many are slain for the cause of Christ, but they are obeying the command of God as He commanded Ezekiel. Preach to the dry bones because they will live. They will live. One day they will listen. One day they will wake up. You just preach the gospel, he says, and leave the rest to me. They will come alive. Oh, beloved, I know as a minister, as I go around and I speak and preach and tell others of the love of God, and I walk out to those doors nights and shake hands with people,
My heart aches as men and women go out time after time. But I know without a doubt that God will not hold me responsible. I know that I, as others have, we've told of God. We've told of His love, and God will not hold us responsible. He will do the rest. He says, leave the rest to me. I will cause them to come alive. They will live. All our responsibility is to get the gospel out. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Remind them of God's love. Remind them of the gift of salvation. Remind them of a place called heaven. Remind them of a place called hell. And don't get tired. You know, I find that this is one of the things that's happening not only in the Bahamas, but throughout the world. We don't see many men that are taking a stand and preaching the Word of God as they ought and reminding people of where we're going. We're worried about numbers, about people that might get upset at what we say. But, beloved, we as ministers of God's Word particularly have a responsibility to remind people that there is a heaven to gain, a glorious home someday, but there is also a hell. And we have to make that decision in our lives. And God can change lives. God can change lives. Many of us here tonight are living proof of the lives that have been changed. Many of us here know the lives that we once lived, where we were, the things that we did. But thank God, at some stage of our lives, someone, whether it was a Sunday school teacher, whether it was someone in the choir, whether it was someone that stood behind this desk and they told us of the love of God and the Spirit of God strove with our hearts and lives, and we realized within ourselves that, hey, I need to get right with God. God is my only answer. He is my only hope in life. And we surrendered our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And tonight we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Because we're saved and we know it, and we're living for the Lord, and we're looking forward to that day when He will come and take us to Himself. I ask you tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come alive? Have you come alive in Him? Oh, beloved, He can make you alive. He can change your life like no other one can. He can turn your life around, and He can do it today. Look at verse 7. Here we see the marvelous effects of God's living Word. Ezekiel says, so I preached as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. There was a noise. Oh, what a wonderful time that must have been for Ezekiel. Here in this valley of silence, nothing moving, but he obeyed God's word. And as he began to speak, he could see the effect that the Spirit of God was having. God was moving, and beloved, tonight God is in this place. The Spirit of God is here, and He is just as real as He was in the day of Ezekiel. He's seeking out hearts and lives of men and women that need Him, that are far away from Him, that need to come alive. You need a change in your life. And the only hope that we have tonight is Jesus Christ. Nothing else in life can make us what God wants us to be, no matter what we have. You can only be happy by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Ezekiel said the bones came alive. They started coming together, and the bones lived. How wonderful! Oh, how marvelous it is tonight what God can do for sinful man. In my experience of my ministry, I have seen people that have accepted Jesus Christ. They've come laughing. I've seen them come with tears in their eyes. I've seen them jump. I've seen others come without any emotion whatsoever. But praise God that they came. I will not forget one experience that I had last year as I was ministering and brought to the service to a close. In the very back of the chapel, there was a young girl and a husband. They had gone through some difficult times in their life. Both of them had been divorced and now were married. Because of her marriage, her family, they'd split. She hadn't talked to them for a long time. She had made a profession to know Jesus Christ years before, but she had gone back into the world. And as I stood there that morning and I gave the message, the Spirit of God was moving. And as I looked down in the back, I could see the tears streaming down that young lady's face. I gave an invitation, and before the words were out good, her hand shot up, "Pray for me," which I did. At the end of the service, I stood to the door, and as she was going out, she took my hand. She said, "I need to talk to you, and I need to talk to you now." The Spirit of God was moving in her life. God was bringing her alive, making her alive. I sat with that young lady and her husband who was not saved. He joined us as we sat in our chapel office. And there she rededicated her life to Jesus Christ. I had the joy of leading him to the Lord. He too accepted Christ. A couple hours later, I got a telephone call. Her dad said, "How I praise God. She just called and said she got saved." Listen, friends, this is what God can do. He mends lives. He puts us together. He changes lives. Not because of anything that I did or anyone else, but because of His love and His saving power. Because He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ, He wants to give you that life. He wants to give you that life that many of us here tonight have. And we found it by coming to Jesus Christ, by coming alive, realizing that we were dead in the sight of God. We needed Him more than anything. Oh, beloved, that's a challenge to your heart tonight. If you're here without Christ, won't you allow Him to make you alive? Turn your life around. Mend your home. Mend your broken heart. Whatever it might be in life, it doesn't matter. I've already said that. Because God loves and He cares about every little detail in your life. Won't you tonight allow Him to come into your heart? Has that valley of dry bones stood up and formed a great army? Tonight you can stand up. And you're just as important in the eyes of God as that valley of dry bones. Because the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Would you accept Him tonight as your Savior, we pray, for His name's sake. Shall we bow as we look to the Lord in prayer? I wonder tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps right now He's speaking to you. Perhaps right now He's saying to you, "Look, you've tried everything in life. You need me more than anything." Would you raise your hand and say, "Remember me in prayer"? It won't save you, but it'll mean that you're interested in your soul. Is there one tonight that we can remember? Oh, beloved, God loves you. He wants to save you. Only He and He alone can save you. Nobody else can. Father, thank You tonight for the opportunity of presenting Your word. Thank You for the wonderful message, for the story of Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. We know that we are in the same condition. But God, You can change our lives. You can make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Take Your word this evening, we pray, Father. Use it, Lord, as only Thou canst, for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if we can sing in closing number 273.